You're what I've been looking for.
Yeah, who the fuck is that dedicated to? Because every couple on this show is goddamn miserable.
That was dedicated to you and me.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Welcome to the inaugural, the very first We Love to Hate Everything. And I'm not going to sing all the time, I promise.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely hate everything right now. I'm so glad this isn't a visual podcast right now, because this is ridiculous.
Okay, I mean, really? If this was ever the time for a very first episode of We Love to Hate Everything, when you and I are hating everything in general in life, let me just give you a little breakdown of what I see. Yeah,
describe what you're seeing here. I can't even turn my head to look at you because it, like, throws off all the nerves in my back, so go ahead.
Okay, I've been seeing some new angles of Amanda's apartment lately because she got a new laptop, so she can, like, turn left, turn right. It's crazy. I've seen walls I haven't seen before, but now we're in a whole new room. She's laying horizontal. I think you're in your bed sideways with your head.
I am.
Okay. Completely sideways. So, like, the headboard is alongside you. You are parallel to the headboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have a Yeti microphone just perched upon your tum-tum.
Yeah.
You're completely laid out. What is going on here?
And I'm, like, staring at the ceiling. I can't, like, I...
Yeah, we're not even making eye contact.
No.
It's almost like I'm interrogating you. You're on your deathbed, and I'm just like, just tell me everything. Tell me now before you pull the cord.
It definitely looks like you're at my bedside. I mean, I don't know. It's just my costochondritis is, like, really flaring up the past couple days. And today it was, like, really, it's, like, unbearable. So I just, if I lay flat like this, then I don't feel it as bad.
Okay. I'll try not to make you laugh or emote too much during this one.
No,
so you
I can
don't
laugh.
Have to move.
It's this has keep been my a wild shoulders week. Even.
This has been a wild week. It's just the stress and you being extra busy, flaring everything up.
Yeah, and then, remember yesterday when I told you my key broke off in my
car
door
in the
morning? Mm-hmm. And did I tell you that where I was on my way to? Did I tell you that cat story?
The cat? Is this the one where they told you, oh, we still live across the street, and then you said yes, and she's like 45 minutes away?
No, this is these... like six cats that live in this house near me, but I was like on my way to do that, get it over with at like 7 a.m. and then my key breaks off on my door. I have to wait for AAA to come.
Oh my god.
And I get there and like these cats, like I thought my cats were bad about like not being able to like not have their food bowls full, but like the amount of food that I laid down for them the night before, mere hours earlier, it was mind-blowing. Like, there was beyond enough food for, like, weeks in those bowls. And I show up, and I was there a little late because of the car thing, and they had taken three entire bags of scone flour and strewn them about the house, full carpeting. I've never seen so much flour in my whole life.
Okay, I have a lot of questions. I've never heard of owning so many cats in my whole life. Six cats. Okay, that's number one, the issue. That sounds like a hoarded house. That would be an A&E. Secondly, scone flour. What kind of bougie people have specific flour for scones?
It's so weird because this woman is in no way bougie. Her house is, like, so gross.
Well, you had me at six cats, I figure. Sorry, cat people, but six is a lot.
It was like in the bathtub, in her shoes, in her bed, like three entire bags, and they just they weren't trying to eat it. I just really think this was just an act of defiance.
What the heck is that about?
And I just walked in and I just turned around the house and was just I was flabbergasted. I just didn't even know what to do. I called her and I'm like, "Do you have a vacuum?" So I had to, like, vacuum her house and, like, clean her.
Oh, my God.
I'm, like, cleaning flour out of every orifice.
Why is this your fault?
Wouldn't
she be
apologetic? Well, in my opinion, like, when I'm taking care of someone's, it's kind of, like, I could have just left it, I'm sure, but, like, this is why, I guess, like, I keep getting rehired by people.
I'm asking you this, but I would voluntarily just clean someone's house if I was pet sitting. Like, they would come back, and it would have been as if I hired a cleaning crew to come in, because I would just do it.
Yeah, I always want to leave the houses, like, at least, like, 10% cleaner than when I, like, arrived for the first visit, so that was a fun morning.
It's and like, that's how you got your back, or your costochondritis, sorry.
No, but I think the, I think that didn't help.
The agita?
It's mostly just caused by stress. But, like, I mean, I was like, there's gonna be flour in that house until the end of time.
Like, this is so wild that I'm talking to you, but you're just staring at the ceiling. I mean, it truly looks, don't take this the wrong, oh, I'm not even gonna say it. Okay, well, now I just have to say, I was gonna say, don't take this the wrong way, but just from this angle, and it's kind of dark in your room, it's a little grainy, you kind of look like Gary Shirley's mom, Carol, like how I imagine her just laid out, but on a daily basis, like this is just how she lives.
I feel like I'm in traction right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
well, should we just introduce who we are very quickly, just in case no one knows?
Sure, you go first.
Well, I'm Jody from all of our Patreons in reality TV.
Yeah.
And as I'm kind of fading out reality TV throughout the year, we'll be over here on We Love to Hate Everything because we're going to be talking about everything, all the things we love and love to hate. And we are going to talk about some 90 Day Fiancé today, but that's who I am, Amanda. Who are you?
I'm Amanda from Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom, and I used to have a podcast called Squirrel Friends Cocktail Hour, which was a recap of RuPaul's Drag Race, and I have a podcast called Friends of the Countess, which is about the Real Housewives of New York.
And that's the new season of that starting up soon, too. Well, new season of...
Oh, that's right.
On
that's
Bravo.
Right. Yes, and Jody just got me into 90 Day Fiancé, and, like, it's my new obsession, so... I think we're probably going to talk about it a lot.
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about some Happily Ever After, and you've been watching all the Journeys and some Pillow Talk.
Yeah,
we're,
I love
we're
going
to get into that, but very quickly, I need to ask you if you have watched Seeking Sister Wife, which we are recapping on.
No, is it good?
We Love to ATV. Oh, my God. there are, you know, couples that we can always... really skip where we don't really learn too much about, like the Clarks, Gerard, and his queens. But man, the last 30 seconds of the episode is really all you need to watch because basically, I mean, I'm not going to give anything away here.
Oh, I want to hear.
Garrick has basically forgotten how to speak English at this point. Now he is speaking in 3-word sentences like Bert. The end of the episode ends with Large Sister coddling, like holding him like a little baby in a little papoose. And he's crying and he's going, I miss Bert. Miss Bert. While Danielle is cradling him, but he is cradling Bert's head, stroking her hair, just saying, I miss Bert. Full out tears.
But she's there.
Well, yeah. But he's Bert's looking at there. Bert's there. But he's telling Danielle, I miss Bert. I know. Does
Why
it
does
make
he
sense?
Miss her, no. but she's there?
Because he's forgotten how to speak English. Because he is so in love with Bert that now he's trying to express that he will miss Bert when she returns.
Got it. Sure. Does Danielle cry in that episode?
Does Danielle cry in this episode?
I'm going to watch it like right after
you stop. Are you just imagining my face right now because you can't turn your head to see me? There's your answer. We should have set up like a periscope kind of thing with just a bunch of different mirrors around your room, which project my image up onto the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm making you laugh here. Real quickly, anything going on with you this week? Anything to catch up on besides... being in pain.
I mean, all of that stuff. Friday, I'm going to a drive-in movie. That should be fun.
That sounds like a terrible... Oh, that sounds like a double terrible time to me.
Yeah. And then I think it runs into Spaceballs after that, but there's no way I'll stay awake for even E.T., I think.
Oh, I'd be in for Spaceballs. Fuck E.T. I'm there for Spaceballs.
But that should be fun.
And the ETs is good, by the way. It's just very scary, and it's also very sad. It's just two things that I don't like at the same time. And also sitting in a car, ugh.
But the dogs will be there.
Ugh, sounds like hell. Being stuck in a car. Mm.
At least Walter gets to be there. Yeah, I know. But, I mean, what do whatever. You do? It's something.
What do you
it's
do if the I'm doing. Dogs have to go pee?
I mean, it's only like a couple hour movie. They're fine.
They don't get anxious just sitting in a car?
No, dogs love cars.
Even when it's not moving?
Yeah.
Oh, didn't know that. Wow.
Why? What does Scout act like in the car?
Well, I've never gotten in the car and just not gone anywhere with her. Like, hey, let's just sit.
Oh, she'd be fine. I think as long as you're with them. What's going on in your life over there?
Well, I had something big happen yesterday. I've been waiting to tell you this. Because I was about to end up in a situation like you where I was in traction because of stress. So yesterday, I had to bring my son Charlie to the hospital for an MRI. And it's downtown Chicago. So, you know, we drive there. We're all ready. You know, we're going to be in rush hour traffic. We got the pillows. We got the blankets. We got snacks. We got water for when we're done. You know, the whole thing. The whole car is set up. Of course, he's got every fucking electronic on earth. And we finally get there. Again, in traffic in the morning. Finally, I'm trying to find a place in the parking garage. And we had to be there at, I don't know, whatever time it was, like 9:30 or 10:30. And we were in the parking garage at that moment. So I'm like, okay, God, we got to find a spot. And I'm like, all right, so get ready to get out of the car. Get on your shoes. Get your stuff. Get ready to go. And he's like, I think I forgot my shoes. I mean, and when I...
Charlie forgot his shoes?
Yes. Amanda, this
didn't you notice that when you were, like, walking out of the door?
He was in the car before me because he got, like, all ready to go. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick.
Okay.
We had the whole car loaded up. I'm like, oh, hey, you got your water bottle. You got your blah, blah, blah. Now, this is, like, a big hospital, okay? Thank God he had socks on. And I'm like, well, I don't... And he's like, I'm sorry, Mommy. And I'm like, okay, we just got to, like, remain calm. But I don't know. What the fuck am I going to do? The only parking spot we scored was the top floor of the parking garage, which is now outside. God. It had rained yesterday morning. So, like, you're going to have to go in your socks. Like, I don't know what to tell you. We have to go. Ooh. And we're downtown, so it's not like I can swing by somewhere real quick and pick up a pair of flip-flops. Like, I'm on Michigan Avenue. No, he's 120 pounds. I can't even do, like, piggyback. Again, I would have been put out. So we're on the 10th floor, 10 of 10 of the parking garage. And I'm like, well, you're going to, I don't know what to do. I'm like, all right, you're going to have to walk because I don't have an extra pair of shoes. And I just had slip-on one, so I wasn't wearing socks. So I'm like, oh, fuck, you're going to have to walk. Of course, this parking garage has three elevators, but it's down to one because the other two are being fixed.
Awesome.
So, I mean, it's just full COVID in there. Thank God everyone's wearing their masks. But he's hiding behind me because he doesn't want anyone to see that he's not wearing socks. It stops at every fucking floor on the way down of that parking garage.
So
we
he's
get
just
to the main floor. He's just
so
in
he
socks.
Walks in bare feet on the socks. Wet pavement.
Yeah. Socks. Yep. I mean, and in my mind, I am thinking of every sort of hepatitis A, B, C, D, and E on his feet, COVID, malaria, whatever the hell.
Fuck.
Like, we're going to have to burn your feet off. Like, the socks are in the trash. We're going to have to burn your feet. I don't know what to do. So, like, okay, we're walking. Yeah, there's like a, you know, one of those overpass bridges you have to go over where it, like, goes over the street.
Holy
it's like a long.
Shit.
And this is a teaching hospital, which is connected to a woman's hospital. It's Lurie Children's downtown Chicago. So, I mean, it is like bustling. So he's trying to walk behind me so no one notices. And I'm like, oh my God. And now with COVID, there's all these different checkpoints you got to go to, right? You got to like check in, you get your badge, you get your thing, you get your part, whatever, the whole fucking shebang. Then we finally get to one of the waiting rooms. No shoes. Again, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God.
Were you, finally, like, mad at him, or were you being
Well, I didn't want to be mad at him because he was going to go through, like, a whole thing. So him being so worried actually calmed me down. But finally, of course, we get to the back thing, and I'm like, I know this is going to sound, like, so weird. They're like, if you need anything, you know, as he's putting on his gown, I'm like, I know this is going to sound so funny. I mean, like, Mom of the Year award. Do you guys have any, like, extra slippers or like flip-flops or anything because he forgot his shoes. And she's like, oh, out in the waiting room. I'm like, no, like at home. And she goes, how did you get in here? I'm like, he walked. Like, we're going to have to burn the socks. And oh, I mean, God. She was so nice and everything. But she's like, well, we could give you a wheelchair so you could wheel him out. Like, when he's all done, you can wheel him back to the car, which we did.
That's something.
But then I did ask if there was, like, any heavy-duty soap. So they did give me some surgical soap. So we bathed his feet. So I'm like, you're going to have to put him down while you're back there because I'm not bringing this kid home with whatever he picked up on his feet on the way in here. I mean, truly so embarrassing. So then, okay, really, I'm going to wrap this up, I swear.
I'm sure this isn't the first time that somebody's...
She told me, she's like, well, this is a... Of course, it's a first thing out of her mouth. Well, this is a first. And I'm like, God. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah,
she's
thanks.
Like, well, we did have a teenager that didn't put his underwear, that forgot to put his underwear on in the morning. So, of course, I'm like, well, Charlie, at least you got those on today. So then, of course, I'm going above and beyond to be friendly and like, I'm cool, I'm casual, which... Then I always think that people are going to think I am a Munchausen mom because I go above and beyond trying to prove I'm not. So then I think they think I am.
Like, in what way?
You know, like, they'll be like, oh, whatever questions. Do you have this, this, or this?
So you're constantly, like, acting like it's not a big deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Charlie gets shy, so I'll answer for him. And then in my mind, they're like, they're going to think he's Gypsy. And I'm a, what's her name, Dee Dee. That I'm answering for him. Then I'm like, you can answer, Charlie. You know, it's just, I get very nervous because I really feel like I am not the cool mom, but they're like, okay, we're good. We're going to roll with the punches here.
Right.
But yeah. The more you try
like,
to act
both,
that way.
We're both like that. We're like, we just don't want.
Right. But you know, like you go above and beyond, like too friendly, yeah. Too easygoing.
It's like when the cops showed up to my house after Bacon Fingers did all that to me. And, like, they had to come, like, three separate times because the first two times they came, I was like, oh, it's just not That's a big deal. Like, do you know what a podcast is? Like,
oh, my God, I know, right?
And then I, like, start, and then, like, I was keeping the reports, the police reports, and, like, I was starting to get the hang of it. But, like, the thing that they write down is, what's the first thing the victim said? And, like, the first one said, like, I have a podcast. And then
do you know what? Have you watched Teen Mom?
And then finally, by the third time they came, and my account had actually been deleted. That's when I was just like, That's when I stopped being nice and started being real, and I was just like screaming into the abyss about everything. And they wrote down a really detailed report that time.
Oh my God!
But the first two times I was like, it's not a big deal. I'm like, yeah,
she's very hospitable. She's very friendly.
Didn't really understand what the problem was. She never really got around to it.
Seemed very frantic. Was talking about six cats. I don't know, but we'll be back. Oh boy. Okay. Well. You know what? Let's jump into, you want to do Happily Ever After, or do you have any questions that are on the tip of your tongue about 90 Day Journey? Because you've gone into almost all of them, right?
Well, no, Danielle, there's actually McCullough. A lot more than you think. And they're all so long. That's another thing that I was so, because I've never watched just a full episode before that wasn't a 90 Day Journey, so I didn't realize all these episodes were like an hour and 40 minutes long. Are they all like 2 hour episodes?
Yeah. Now you know why it's so hard to recap them all, especially when there's like two or three on at a time, where there would be on like Sunday night and Monday night.
I just blew through like all of your recaps one of the seasons, and I remember at one point being like, I almost like pulled, like drove into traffic because you were like, well, it was a 3 hour episode. And I was like, this thing has 3 hour episodes? What the fuck?
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, you almost made me have a heart attack because you said you pulled up and you actually watched the episode of 90 Day Live, which I thought for sure they wiped from the internet. I'm shocked that
I was just about to bring that up.
And I will not watch it. I will not watch it.
You
never
look
have.
Really good in it. Oh. You look really, really beautiful.
Oh my God. No, you're you're clearly on some sort of pain meds or something.
How did that happen? I wish I had more, I had better pain meds. How did you get, like, asked to do that?
Well, at the time, the 90 Day producers were looking for something to do with their after shows because they're really not great at the 90 Day after shows. And even the tell-alls are a little, So they were just trying different things out. They got Michelle Collins, who I think is really funny. TV,
she's controversial. She was fired from The View, I think, because she was a little bit too, like, bombastic or something.
Oh, I could see that. She can be really funny. I don't think this 90 Day after show thing was the right place to showcase her sarcasm and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, she was hosting this. It was like, yeah, it was just 90 Day Live. It was weird. It was a live show, and they reached out to a bunch of different YouTubers and bloggers and podcasters and just said, do you want to come on? And they assigned two sums. Like, I was paired up with Grace, and we were both supposed to talk about, was it David and Annie? I don't even remember. Or no, was it
I forget. George the segment was so short.
Oh, it was so short.
Oh, it might have been George Nonfisa.
Oh, that's what it was. And they were running behind. Because the previous segments had gone way over. And then Antonio, who was on a season, it was like David and Annie's friend's brother or whatever, who was on one of my very early episodes. He called me up at like 11 o'clock at night drunk. And he's like, can I come on your podcast? I want to say some things, blah, blah, blah.
How did he get your how did he get your number?
I don't even I don't even remember. I think he might have has to be in the group. I mean, this was 3 years ago. I really don't even remember.
You're so much more
this,
like famous than I thought. I've never would have reached out to you.
Oh yeah.
At the beginning, if I had known that you were this like part of this world, and these people probably mostly all know who you are. Because again, if you're on this, if you're on this show, you got to be like somewhat of a narcissist.
I am.
No. If you're on one of these.
I'm like, do you realize how much I hate myself? Like, I don't No.
I have a feeling that, like, all the cast members probably listened to you. And they saw you on that after show, and they know who you are.
No. I doubt it. The only one I know for sure has read any of, like, my tweets is Tom. Because, Darcy's Tom. Because the British dude, I kept the clip because I fucking hate him. And on whatever that Bites Back show, one of you listeners sent that to me like, hey, they had him read one of your tweets. That was amazing. But anyway, long story short, that was a show where he said like, fuck on live air. And they went scrambling. We could hear in the background all the producers like, oh, my God, like all pissed off because he dropped the F-bomb live on air. Anyway,
where were you? Were you at your house or did you go somewhere for that?
No. We were, like, in our house, and then you had to, like, talk with someone, and they said, like, what they want your background. You had to show them a couple different outfits of what you're going to wear and whatever. Okay. I mean, you saw it. It was, like, 22 seconds, if that.
Yeah, anyway. You didn't get to say much, but it wasn't as bad as you made it, like, out to be.
I am glad. Like, I would have probably preferred not even to be on it, because I don't even want to know.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah, I would never.
Let's jump into Happily Ever After here. Can I start with Angela and Michael?
Yeah. She's like, okay, I don't even know. Like, I'm always wrong with who I initially
like.
No, this
is great because you're kind of, you're very virginal here. You're very pure going into this.
That's what people call me, virginal Amanda. I find her to be like really like likable. Do people not like her?
No, people. Oh, no, she's not a Paola. Angela is great for TV. I'll say that. She's great for TV. This may or may not surprise you, and we're not going to get political here, but she was, like, super Trumper. She even brought a MAGA hat and Donald Trump boxers to Michael when she visited him in Africa. And Michael was like, I love Donald Trump, which... maybe he disagrees with his immigration policy, but anyway, she's very controlling and demanding and definitely doesn't want to adhere to any of Michael's customs.
Okay.
But she's great for TV.
Yeah. Her laugh is really, like it comes out of nowhere and it's so loud that it's like jarring, but also likable.
Yeah, because I feel like everyone knows someone like an Angela in their life. It's probably like a neighbor mm-hmm. you grew up with around, you know, she lived around the block and you knew that neighbor or something. Or that right. lady at the public pool who's just like leather by the end of the summer. She just lays out by herself all summer.
Michael does seem into her, kind of. Like, he seems like there's love there.
Yeah, I think they do love each other. I think he absolutely was in it to come to America, and still, but I think he has accidentally grown to love her as well.
Yeah, well, that's, I guess, as best as you can hope for on these shows. Ooh, yeah. You know what I really wanted? Well, God, there's so much I want to say. the pillow talks. That girl, the my most annoying, well, first of all, the pillow talks are good, but mm-hmm. the couples are so annoying because they're working so hard to act like they are so happy. So then when I watch Elizabeth and Andre, I'm like, oh, you two hate each other. And this is like, he seems really abusive. Like, and then,
yep.
My most annoying person on Pillow Talk is the one who I originally thought I was just going to love because she has Tourette's. Who are they?
Lauren and Alexi.
Oh, God. They are... She is so annoying and performative.
See, and people love her now. I hated them on the season because they were just so boring. And, you know, like all these shows, I mean, Teen Mom or... what else do we recap? Unexpected. It's like they pick the one thing, like the girl on Unexpected whose butthole is in the wrong place, and then you just hear it every single episode, anoplasty yeah. or whatever. Yeah. Her thing was Tourette's. So it was like every episode, every scene was like, I don't know what his family's going to think when they find out that I have Tourette's. And I was like,
that's
just tell
them,
they're
fine. You need to reveal to somebody's
exactly.
family. That was so weird when I saw that whole like recap. I think it was like, I watched their tell-all. Where it shows her, like, having to, like, tell him that, yeah. oh, it turns out that Tourette's is, what is
hereditary.
It called? Hereditary, which, yeah. I mean, I guess the doctor probably knows better than me, but I'm like, I don't think so. Also, you don't have to tell anyone that. And also, like, he seems so, I would be so pissed if a guy got upset. And he's like, well, it's just, now we know that our baby can have this horrible disease. I'm like, oh my God, it doesn't reduce
See, I don't
your
even
life
remember
expectancy.
That. I think he oh, I annoys me.
Clicked it in my head.
I go back and forth with them. For a while, I was just kind of neutral on them. And now, right. I know everyone's going to hate me for saying this. We're going to start this this podcast off with a bang. I don't need to see and hear about their baby every single pillow talk. Like, everything is like, Shy, oh, Shy, you like this? Oh, Shy likes it, too. Shy,
Elizabeth
oh, you need
and Andre
shy,
do
shy,
that,
shy.
Too. Andre.
Oh, I
Elizabeth
hate
Andre.
Them.
Do that too.
Hate them so much.
Yeah. So, and also her Tourette's isn't even that bad.
No.
It's so like unclockable. It's like now that you know that it's there, you can kind of see it. It's like in her neck and mouth. Mm. Do you see it?
On her? I don't know. But I don't really notice yours either, though. I truly don't.
Right. Mine is also more audio.
Oh, yeah. You said that sometimes. You'll
more
like.
Vocal.
Right. I don't even hear that. But anyway,
I mean,
they're annoying. You know who also yeah. sucks? See, they switch Pillow Talk up. People loved David and Annie on Pillow Talk. I feel like they've gotten.
Oh, I love them.
I feel like they've gotten less entertaining. But there's always
they're
just
another
be...
one that I like because it seems like they are into each other.
Oh, yeah. I think they do love each other. There's just something. Probably not so much anymore, but on their original season, David was so smarmy and just slick and I can't put my finger on it. They're okay. The new chick that's on this new season of Happily Ever After Pillow Talk, Stephanie and her mom, Magda. Why? Why the fuck did they have her on here? She
I don't know them.
She was on one season. You don't want to know her. She was on one season of Before the 90 Days where she claimed she was having this online lesbian relationship with this super pretty, I think she was from Australia. It was either Australia or South Africa. This chick, Erica. She had like rainbow hair.
Oh,
super
yes,
cute.
Yes. I see. That's on that same tell-all.
Yeah, and then Erica went there, and they, like, kissed once, And then Erica was just like, I don't know. I'm just uncomfortable. And she just ended up being this snob. And like, I don't know. Mm. Is she bi? Is she really a lesbian? It was just weird. And she's just a little snobby, stuck-up brat. And now they have her on this after show. I'm like, no one liked her when she was on the show. What is she doing here?
Yeah. And in the pillow talk that that's currently on is there's those two girls that I just don't care about in the actual like show of it. I think one is Danielle, right?
Danielle.
That girl, I think she has braces and she like broke her arm on that ATV.
Oh, you're and talking the, about Brittany and Yazin.
Brittany, yes.
Brittany's then, dumb, yeah.
But and then there's that other one with that pretty girl that I just don't, I don't give a, it's not interesting for me to watch a gorgeous young 20-something, like, struggle in the dating world.
Who's the other one?
Like, the really pretty one.
Oh, Fernanda. Sure. She's in Chicago. She was going on a date with, like, this silver-haired douche.
Yeah, and he, like, yelled at her on that boat.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like, you could pull this over right now, and I will get myself some deep dish, and you can fuck
came
right
off.
Came
out of nowhere. Came out of nowhere. And, like,
oh, I saw name? That coming. He Fernanda. Was smarmy, too. Ew.
Yeah, but, I mean, he really yelled at her. But I also hate on Pillow Talk when, like, they show a new person. Like, it'll be Fernanda's section. And then it shows every single Pillow Talk couple going, Fernanda! Ooh, Fernanda! And, like, rubbing their hands together. Yeah. I'm like, you don't give that much of a shit about her.
Do you like Veronica and Tim?
The gay guy?
Okay. He's not gay, according to him. I mean, listen, wherever you fall on the Kinsey scale of sexuality, good for you. Go do your thing. I maybe it's his mannerisms. I think, okay, here's Tim's problem. What strikes people as odd, I think, is not his personality, because he's actually very funny. But he has a...
Oh, yeah. No, I love them. They're my favorite.
He has that, like... kind of voice.
Yeah, that vocal fry. It's so vocal fry.
He has a very ovular head, but going in the opposite direction. A very horizontal head. Like an alien-shaped head. And that he has very slight shoulders. Like very low-toned, tiny shoulders.
Right.
So no matter what he does, it's not his fault, but it's just his posturing and how he's built, I think, is what throws people off. Because he's really into Latin chicks. Like, really into them.
Yeah, I want to see his season. Just to see, like, the dynamic.
It's pretty boring.
Because him and Danielle have, like, just
Veronica.
The exact... Veronica. Why do I want everyone to be named Danielle? They have, like, a perfect, like, girl with her gay best friend relationship.
They were engaged... and broke up, and now they're just best friends. But when they started dating and got engaged, her daughter was like 2 or 3 years old, who's now like 15. And so he became her dad. And so he's just remained her dad. And that's his daughter, but they're not together, which is great. But I think she's a little flirty with him sometimes.
She is. I think that America sees, like, look, what a cool relationship.
Yeah, she's kind of got like a bobble in her throat a little bit when she talks, right?
It's also a little raspy too.
Yeah, it's like a little raspy. That's turning into a Tanya, but anyway,
she has a masculine energy to her, and he kind of has a feminine, personality.
You would probably you would crack up at his season because he goes to Colombia to meet this girl. I think her name was Melissa. Or Jennifer. Okay. I don't know. Whatever it was. Danielle. It was probably a Danielle.
I was just about to say Danielle.
And, well, spoiler, they don't sleep together when he's there, and it becomes like this whole thing.
Why?
Because he has reasons.
Okay, does he tell us what they are?
Vaguely?
Okay.
I'm really not helping his cause here. Anyway, I find him very funny. Okay, let's talk about Angela and Michael here.
Okay, sorry.
Don't be sorry. This is great. We're not doing like a full in detail recap here. We're just talking about this funny shit.
Basic thoughts. Yes.
So she goes to Beverly Hills to do like a gastric sleeve, which I would love to get. I think it's great.
Me too. I know a lot of people who have it. You usually gain your weight back, though.
Yeah, didn't Al Roker? He had issues, I think, where he gained back. Yeah. Yeah, you have to, like, really be strict with that stuff. It's not just a quick fix like I think Angela seems to think that it is.
Well, also, Bacon Fingers gained back, like, all his weight and more with that.
Yeah. Well, good for him, because he fucking sucks. He ate fucking raw bacon. Of course he's going to eat right through it, asshole. And in case you guys... Okay. You need to know the backstory. Basically, this guy was an abusive piece of shit, so that is the nicest thing we could say about him.
Oh, yeah, but he ate raw bacon. And so we call him bacon.
It was convincing you that it was a
that
thing.
I was crazy for thinking it was gross.
That you could have, like, sashimi bacon. It's not, that has never been a thing. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to start gagging again, thinking about chewing on fucking bacon fat. Anyway, I have a hard time believing that she didn't know she was going to have skin removal surgery when she has been on the Learning Channel. She has been on Discovery TLC for like 3 or 4 seasons. This is the channel that like invented fat removal. We have 600 Pound Life, 1,000 Pound Sisters, Dr. Now and all that kind of shit. And she doesn't know about skin removal. Where have you been? Do you see who writes your paychecks? What the hell, Angela?
Yeah, and, like, she wants to, like, keep her boobs and stuff, like, the, like, those are, I mean, she did get them removed.
Or lifted. Or reduced. Oh, I would love that. Now, I've been telling you about big boobs for a while.
Yeah.
That is a thing. I don't think mine are that far off from hers.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I have, like, what are mine technically? E's?
Yeah, but hers have got to be, like...
Oh, hers are much bigger than
like
that.
Like, K's.
No, I think, like, when she folds them up in there, she's probably, like, an H. What comes after H? A J?
I?
A K? Maybe an L, M, N, O, P.
Yeah.
She goes in there, and she had her cigarette still in her bra. Now, do you think that was planned? I think it was. There's no
way.
Yeah,
I mean, all of these storylines, seem a little bit contrived now that everyone's on like their third and fourth season. Not the storylines necessarily, but like the conversations and stuff are very, very contrived.
Yeah. And like, oh, I had 4 cigarettes since I was here in LA. I hope they don't smell it on me. I'm like, you've been smoking for like 40 years. It's coming out of every pore of your body.
Absolutely.
For at least a year after you quit.
Like the doctor calls her or like the person helping her and she's like, no, you're just drinking liquid, right? And Angela's like, oh my god, yes, I've been starving to death. So then I just had a few bites of eggs and sausage and bacon. It's like, if you're trying to settle your stomach, you don't need all that.
Biscuits and gravy, but the gravy is a liquid. It wasn't totally settled.
Yeah, there we go. And the doctor, like, can't possibly think that she's actually going to do this.
Well, she does. She's already done this. Oh, you mean, like, do the proper build-up diet?
Exactly.
Okay, what about this patient coordinator lady? First of all, she looks like the lady who is on a show that drives me nuts. I liked it for, like, the first 3 episodes I watched, and now I can't. It's called Love It or List It. I want to say it's a Canadian show. Because they have, like, that little French-Canadian accent on certain things. But she looks like the lady on there, but rougher. She was wearing, like, a pantsuit, the jacket, the pants, and then it was just a bikini top. It was the still, it was
I,
same.
I did notice that
material. What
it
is
was
that?
Weird. It was like, weird.
Where
I definitely
do you buy that? Like, do you go to Nordstrom and you're like, oh, look at that, and they just have a suit bikini top on a hanging on a hanger, and you're like, yeah, let's put that together.
It also seems inappropriate for like a professional work environment too.
Yeah, and when she sat down, there was total under boob under there. I'm like, oh, that would drive me nuts. I would need, like, get something under there, just like Angela. Then she talks about the, listen, that guy was super hot. The one who's going to do the boob lift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was hot, the African guy. And she's like, I didn't know he was going to medically fondle me. I mean, this is like reverse sexual harassment. She was harassing the doctor. Ugh, how uncomfortable. I figured out what her earring said. Were you hooked on that like I was, trying to figure out what her earring said?
I didn't even notice.
Finesse. I had to look it up on Twitter. It was like me and eight other people were like, what the fuck does her earring say? Finesse.
Is it like one of those ones that go all the way down your ear, kind of?
No, it was dangling. But it said like F-I-N-E-S-S-E. And I was like, is that a brand or something? Or is that like a lingo? You got yeet, you got finesse. I don't know.
I don't know. There was so much happening here. And this is like my first episode with a lot of these people. So I was just like looking. I was just like.
It's better that we not get into that because it's probably going to turn into a Stan by Eminem when we get ourselves into that trouble.
Okay. We'll never live that down ever.
Jesus. I don't think she wrote that. I think Tyler wrote it. That was definitely not Kate. So weird. All right, let's briefly talk about Tiffany and Ronald. I just want to know if you know anything about them journeys.
I don't know their journey, but I mean, they do a pretty good recap of everyone's storyline at the top of this episode one here.
So it's just your thoughts on them.
I think she's really pretty. You know who she looks like? She looks like that chick from the movie Hairspray.
Nikki Blonsky?
Yeah, I think she kind of looks like Nikki Blonsky.
No.
I think Nikki Blonsky's pretty.
Yeah, but I think Tiffany's way prettier. I think Tiffany needs to move on from the cold shoulder look.
Oh, yeah. She
exclusively is shoulderless, no matter what shirt, dress, anything.
Kehlani seems to wear those too a lot.
Who? Oh, Kehlani? Yeah, you're right. Kehlani loves a dress. She loves a big dress. Tiffany... It makes me sad that she's now just doing, hey guys, blush tutorials on YouTube now.
Oh, is that what she's doing?
I guess. Remember, because the little daughter who I'm just going to call the little daughter She Bangs, because bangs on baby bangs and bangs on toddlers just don't do bangs.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah, because she had a ring light there. So, yeah, I guess.
A heavy bang and little She Bangs Carly toddles in and she's like, hey guys, I'm gonna do a makeup tutorial, blush tutorial today. I'm like, how do you blush? Just goes on your cheeks. There's really not much to it.
Yeah.
And she's like, here comes the cutest baby ever. And I was like, I mean, she's cute,
really,
but not cutest baby ever. I mean, I didn't have the cutest babies ever either. They were cute to me, but not ever to everyone else. Hold on. Did you catch that Tiffany didn't know she was pregnant with her first son until 10 minutes before he popped out?
And it showed the picture. I just realized that my fucking air conditioner is on, so you're going to have to put noise gate on my track.
Welcome to it.
Whatever. But they show a picture of her at 18, and she looks like she's been through it. Like, she looks like not the best kid. Like, she just looks like a, like,
yeah, club like, kid emo. Urgh.
Exactly.
She was super into like Avril Lavigne, Ashley Simpson. Mm-hmm.
But
can you imagine right now? Let's say you think it's costochondritis that's flared up, but tonight you're like, oh, you know what? I got to go to the emergency room, and they say, Miss Kaczynski, is there a chance you're pregnant? And you're like, no. And they're like, well, we have something to tell you. It's a boy. What do you do?
I mean, obviously, you'd be the first person that I'd call.
That's really what I was trying to get to.
Okay, gotcha.
You got me right.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
Brandon and Julia. Ugh, I don't know why they're on this season. They picked the weirdest fucking couples to be on this show.
Brandon and Julia are the ones that go to Vegas?
Yeah. They're the same height. Oh, they're just like two little tiny people.
Yeah, why did they get picked? This is so boring.
I have no idea.
And the storyline is nothing either. No. She's like, we've been in Vegas one night. Let's move here.
Right.
And he's kind of a dick to her, too, but he is funny. He's like, that's great. We'll just live in that box around the corner.
Yeah, he's a total mama's boy. But she got really fame thirsty, I think. And the whole season went to her head because on the tell-all, she came off like a total brat. Okay. Just loving the camera too much. Brandon's a little... prick, basically. I don't know why they're on the season at all. It's gonna be
stupid. They're the ones that live on that farm, right? She doesn't like animals, which made her really likable right off the bat for me.
Yeah, right. Well, and then turns out at the tell-all, he had found some apartments for them to go live in But she didn't like any of them. They weren't up to her standards. So she's like, we'll just live with your parents. We're like, okay, you left that detail out the whole fucking season when the rest of us are feeling bad for you that you have to live with them. But their whole drama is...
they do nothing for me.
She has to go to her interview for her green card. Ooh, let's stress about that for fucking six episodes now. Who cares?
Yeah, they'll drag that out.
Dumb. All right, Elizabeth and Andre hate both of them. I'm so pissed they gave them a season of anything. I don't want them on Pillow Talk. I don't want them on anything. They're the worst.
And why don't you... Like, I think that he is... It also might be the fact that he has such, like, a thick, like, kind of Russian accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he kind of comes across as a little more harsh. Mm-hmm. But I think he actually is, abusive and an asshole. Yeah.
He's a maybe controlling misogynist.
Yeah.
For sure.
He sucks.
But they're playing it up because their whole drama is like, I'm in the middle where Elizabeth or Libby is like, my family doesn't like him and he doesn't like my family. What do I do? But then she'll go trash talk him to her family and trash talk her family to him.
Of course.
And so they have to keep this going because they all love being on camera, including her family, who are the worst. All of them have mugshots for X, Y, and Z. They've all been arrested for drugs, DUI, child support, whatever you want to, you know, I'm not even going to say it. You know, I just thought it was ridiculous this whole episode that the whole family has to gather in their housewives finest, like a housewives reunion, to stand around this stupid island and talk about, should they give Andre $100,000 loan? And the dad's like, no, out of the question. I'm like, yeah, because you don't have $100,000 to loan him. We're not idiots.
Right. And aren't they making a bunch of money?
No, they are not. There's been a whole bunch of podcasts, I want to say maybe 6 months, a year ago, about how her dad, who is like, he manages or maybe owns apartments or houses, and then she does the leasing and she manages the properties or whatever. Maybe they're flipping them now that the market's kind of turning around. But he's been accused of basically being a slumlord. Like, he doesn't take care of shit. He'll scam people out of their security deposits and all that.
Elizabeth and Andre allegedly making, like, aren't they all making money off of the show, though?
Well, now they are, I'm sure. I don't think the first season they make a whole lot of money, but that's why the family is all playing this shit up.
Right.
That I guarantee they all get along in real life. And then Andre plays it up and they're playing
I don't know if I could get along with Andre. He, like, would scare me. I would want her to break up with him every day of my life.
We wouldn't get along with him, but her family would. Because I just can't stand them. All of them I hated. And I cannot stand that Charlie's wife, the one who rarely spoke, but the one who had the really bad...
The pink?
Yes. Pink housewives blouse on, like the off the shoulder, then a poof. What are you doing there? If you're going to be walking around with a little stink on your face, go get your hair dyed professionally because it looks like shit. I felt really good to get off my chest here. Okay, Kalani and Asuelu. I mean, talk about conflicted emotions.
I mean, I remember like when I remember everyone liking him. Like, and just seeing that
First season, he was Forrest Gump. Everyone loved him. He's just so cute and sweet and lovable. And his little boo hole, learning how to ride a bike.
Right? Yeah, but it is very much you had to tell me this. I don't know if I would have noticed it that quickly, but the fact that he does have the mentality of, like, a six-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hidden by the language barrier. Right. So everything he says, it's like, oh, well, that's just because he doesn't know, like, how to say the full sentence or whatever. But now I'm like, no, he's in that, when they're looking at that house and he's, like, jumping on the fucking bed, I would be mortified.
I think that was 50-50. For example, like 55%. Him just doing it because he would, in production, being like, go ahead and do this. This will be funny. But most people would be like, I'm not doing this. Or, like, kids, you jump on the bed, but I'll sit on the corner and, like, bounce, like, on my butt. You know, like, I'll just sit here and kind of... But he really got into it. He's very easily persuaded to do whatever by anyone.
Right. But I'm on the tell-all, I remember him seeming, like, really scary this last tell-all. Because he didn't, like... And then he, like, gets up and leaves. And his face just looked, like...
Black?
He just has, like... He has a resting bitch face. Like, all like just, like... when he's not, like, smiling or talking, his face looks, just, like... scary.
Yeah.
And pissed.
Right. Yeah, when he's not smiling, like he's eating a delicious crepe with egg and sausage. That was the most genuine smile I've ever seen.
Just also, when he bit into that thing, I'm positive that he bit into some of the parchment paper because I heard it.
Ooh. I don't like
it. I heard like a snapping and I'm like, crepes aren't, like there was a crunch and crepes aren't crunchy.
No, they're not.
By design.
He thinks like you actually eat the wrapper. Oh, a Swaylu.
Yeah, I think it was just by accident. But
I was more caught off guard because okay, so he ate the crepe at the bottom of the base of the triangle with if you will, because it was upside down. But you're really getting mainly crepe there. You're not getting much filling up there.
I know. Also, she didn't have anything.
She had one next to her, but I mean,
oh, did you?
She's a woman. We're not going to eat on camera because we never eat.
Yeah.
Oxygen is really filling.
God. Well,
I'll just sip my water here anyway.
How did they get back together, though? Because it seemed like they were going to break up. Or do you think it's just like they're like, look, we need to stay on TV?
No, I think she really does love him and have feelings and have love for him. Because he is the father of her children. And when he is sincere, it is like looking into your son's eyes or something. Like, just like, he's a little boy. I think he's not with... Okay. Like, a standard IQ score would be like 100. I think he falls on the other side of, you know, one deviation away to the left, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't think he's
like, your son's super right about here.
I don't think he's super bright. And I'm not trying to diss him for that. I just don't, maybe probably just opportunity wise or whatever. And his family, his mom and his sister is batshit crazy.
Oh my God, that scene.
So the emotional IQ is zero. So pair that all together. And it's going to take him a long time to become a man or to have the maturity of a 30-year-old man.
Yeah, and, like, I remember in their journey, there's, like, a season where it's just him, like, working at, like, this pharmacy handing out samples.
Oh, my God, he was a sample boy. Oh.
Yeah, he was so excited about it. Like,
A very but that's small
about, that seems store. About right, though. Like, that seems about right for him. Like, what's he gonna do?
Yeah, it's just a sad situation. I do think it would help if they were out on their own and not living with their parents. But I don't know, like, what kind of job does he get? They kind of have to do this show to be making money, because what else can he do here? I mean, I want them to stay together, because I think Asuelu, like, he has a good soul, I think.
Yeah.
But Kalani, I mean, she's so amazing.
Is, like, the... Amazing. His sister is the... Is his sister the one that, like, on the tell-all was, like, wives need to be, need to bow down to their husbands or whatever?
Probably. She wants to beat Kalani up all the time.
Yeah, that, like, physically that beat scene. Her. That scene where they're standing on, like, that dock for some reason.
Oh, my God.
And Kalani is just, like, chewing gum. Uh-huh. And that was nuts. And I don't even think his sister is really playing that up for the camera.
No.
I think that she's actually that psychotic.
I do, too. I think she's unhinged. Mm-hmm. I think the mom has probably got some sort of personality issues or emotional issues, and that just kind of trickled down nature and nurture. But Kalani, I love her. I can't wait for next week to see her come in. Her TikToks are so fucking good because she's just so gorgeous. She could say nothing and just have her face on there and I could stare at her. She's stunning.
So, they're both so pretty.
And Low, their dad, oh my God.
Yeah,
he would be a home kiss. Actually, I don't think he enjoys kissing.
Yeah.
He just wants to, like,
he doesn't seem that affectionate.
It.
Yeah. All right. Is that all about Asuelu and Kalani? Yeah, that's pretty much.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with them. Mike and Natalie.
Oh, yeah. They're, like, kind of newish, right?
Sort of.
He is the most irritating at, like, the acting.
Now we're getting to it. Here we go. Okay, because...
He's like, hi, babe. Beautiful, my beautiful babe.
Yeah, Mike was really the fan favorite of the two of them, I'd say, for their first season. Hold on, their first season, because, I mean, clearly she's psycho. You look at her, the way she talks and her crazy eyes, and yeah, this little baby... baby doe-eyed thing she does is crazy.
Yeah.
The first season, he was truly heartbroken and taken off guard. And then this last season and in this one, he's gotten real cocky. Real cocky, real confident. Even just the way he walks is different. His mannerisms. And now I cannot stand him. He thinks he can do so much better than her, that he's hot shit, and she should be so lucky. He wants her to continue to pay for her mistakes.
They are married, though, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
What were her mistakes? Because I didn't make it to the complete end of their journey.
Okay,
yet.
So he went to go visit her in Ukraine, where he proposed, or maybe she already had the ring. And then they kind of got in this tiff. And while
they fought the whole time.
Yeah, and then while they were being interviewed, they asked her,
yes.
Do you love him or are you in love with him? And she's like, I don't know. And then she gave him back the ring, like a total girl would do, thinking he's going to give it back to her, but he didn't. And so then it became this like cat and mouse thing where then she had to like beg and apologize and she wanted the ring back. And that was his little power play. And that's what he played all last season until he re-proposed to her. And then she didn't like the proposal. And so then she was like, okay. And so you're going to forgive me for everything then. And he's like, well, now you just ruined it. Now you ruined the proposal. No, now I'm not going to give it back to you. It was like this whole fucking thing.
Jesus. These two belong together, it seems.
Yeah. And then he called off their wedding the hour or two before they were going to get married. And so then she was going to go back. And then...
Do you know the reason for that now, right? And it's that his mom wanted someone to stand... Or do you think that's even true?
Supposedly that was before he called it off or something like that. He called it off, whether his mom wanted to or not. Like, who cares? He still decided he was going to call it off, and he still decided to marry her. So.
I almost wonder if it's because she, like, physically, like, abused him or something. Like, she, like, hit him or something, and, like, he didn't want it to affect, I don't know, her green card or something.
No, I just don't think he really is that into her. I think he was not ready to get married.
Remember when Jess threw the shoe at Colt?
Yeah.
And he's like, you just threw a shoe at me. You just threw a shoe at me. As if he's like all like, just shocked. Yeah, like,
Oh, God. He's so freaking gross. Oh, he wasn't on. They weren't on this episode, were they?
Are they in this?
I think they are, yeah.
Oh,
they just weren't on this latest
episode.
I think. I could be just making it up, too.
Well, it seems like they add two or three new people every episode.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I hope Colt is on it. And I hope Vanessa fucking, like, breaks his heart.
But there's something wrong with her that she has seen all this stuff go down, or that she has seen him, period, and has chosen
him. Too much of my ex, like, in just, like, the way he'll, like, hold his eyes, like looking all innocent, and just, like, how he'll harp on stuff, and, like, Jess would say something like just kind of teasing him, like, you're a mama's boy. And then he immediately, I remember this happening so much. This is when they're walking down the beach and he's wearing that Speedo that's three sizes too small on him.
Oh,
and
I blacked that out.
And she's like, oh, no, that looks good. Oh, that looks really good. But he, like, they're kind of, like, having a good conversation. She's like, oh, you're a mama's boy. And he's like, I don't like that you're calling me that. Don't call me that. I would never, like, he just gets immediately offended about everything. And I'm like, you're fine. Your manhood is not being argued here.
But that's how he maintains control.
I know.
That manipulation.
Yeah, I know.
So gross. Ew.
Anyway.
Okay, but about Mike... So you can't stand him after watching this season. Okay, good.
Okay.
Because I think most people, well, I'll group myself into this. I would say up until like the last maybe three episodes of the season, I was still pro Mike.
All right, because she's so crazy.
Not that I thought he was, like, great. Like, oh, my God, I could totally hang out with this guy. But between the two of them, I was like, yeah, I see where he's coming from.
Okay.
But now he's really sunk into liking this power dynamic that he has.
Right. He definitely likes being on TV. Like, he's the one that's the most obvious about that.
His hair. He has season one Michael Scott from The Office
hair. Oh, yeah, he does. He does.
God, he's got to do away with that. It's doing nothing for him. But in this episode, okay, so Natalie surprises him with a shit ton of sushi. I don't think I've ever seen that much sushi on the table at one time.
There was that much sushi on, there was hand rolled, like rolled by hand at a fucking Elizabeth's dad's house. Remember they had all that sushi? They're all eating sushi.
To be honest, I was jumping through that because I can only take so much because it's so fake. I can't stand it. So I was jumping through them. I did notice that Natalie took an entire cup of ginger and just like dumped it on one piece. And I like ginger, but whoa, that's a lot. So she's like, I got sushi and champagne for your bike. Lockjaw. And he sits down. And at this point right here, I would have, if this were Dave coming to sit down, he would have said this. I was like, oh, God, no. He goes, ooh, I'm starving like a Marvin.
Oh, God, that is so unsexy. Ew.
Right?
Ew, no.
What does that even mean?
Well, Starvin' Marvin is an episode of South Park from, like, the early days. So,
well, Starvin' Marvin is also, I want to say that's a name of, like, quicks, like a 7-Elevens and stuff, but not Starvin' like a Marvin.
Well, no, exactly. I thought that originated in the South Park episode. But anyway.
It makes me want to, least sexy thing anyone can say come to slide in at the table.
And I think he says something along the lines of when Ed says to, what's Ed's first girlfriend? Who's the first one?
Oh, Rose.
Yeah, Rose. When he says to her, when she's like, oh, it's pretty out here. And he goes, you're my best scenery. And she goes, But I think Mike says something to her here like that. Like, oh, this food isn't as delicious as you, my darling.
Ew.
He says something like
that. Ew. Gross.
You're my best view.
You're watching The Single Life or the episode where Ed's sitting in the car with that one chick that is clearly deranged because she supposedly slept with him. When he's sitting in the car and he's just staring at her.
She goes, what's that? I think that girl's name might be Danielle. I would be so annoyed if anybody did that to me. He's all the way, like 90 degree angle toward her. Yeah. And she says something like, why are you sitting like that?
Right.
Are Ed and Danielle still together? Don't you have like...
Ed and Danielle.
Don't you have like
Who's
info
Danielle?
On
Danielle?
I think that's what the new one's name is.
I don't think it's Danielle.
I think it is.
I think it's Stan by Eminem. No, I don't know. They were totally set up.
Yeah,
I've heard that she just really wanted to be on TV, allegedly, and that allegedly she's a real bitch in real life.
She doesn't come across as, like, friendly or anything. She comes across as a very, like, a person that's been through a lot of hardship, like, a lot of emotional, like, bad relationships, because she always seems like she's on the verge of tears.
Yeah, I think she might just be an actress.
Yeah, okay.
I think they had a deal for this season. He wants to be on TV. She does, too. Let's make a deal. We'll go 50-50.
Yeah, but God, like, you have to cast somebody with a little bit more believability there.
God, if they actually had sex together, that's so gross. Ew.
Yep. Ew.
All right. Speaking of what else is gross, borscht on Thanksgiving.
I love borscht.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
You put sour
never
cream
tried
in it?
It?
Oh, it's so good.
I mean, I've always had the option, obviously. We're two Polish-Ukrainian girls ourselves. But I also want to point out something else that I hate about Mike. Another point on the chart for overconfident. He's talking about how Thanksgiving is his favorite holiday. And he's like, oh, we're going to put that 22-pound turkey in at 6 a.m., some chocolate pies with homemade whipped cream. No, it's got to be homemade whipped cream. I spend time making my pies. None of that stuff from a can. I'm like, oh, you mean you pour whipped cream into a bowl and you
whip
press
it.
Power on? Yeah. There's no ingredients to it, you fucking asshole. Like, stop patting yourself on the back for bare minimum. The machine makes it. You don't add anything to that, ass. God. But she also said that she would make... Do you know what the other thing she said she could make?
I was fast-forwarding through this part.
Okay.
Because I was trying to get to the end of this.
You're so good. Oh, okay, sorry.
No, I know. I was trying to get, because I didn't realize that they were an hour and 40 minutes each. So I was trying to get through.
She said she can make borscht, or she said glutzpi, which I know it as guamki.
Guamki?
Yeah, that's what us Polish people in my family call it guamki.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
It's the stuffed cabbage, like stuffed cabbage rolls.
Oh, yeah.
What do you call it?
Cabbage rolls.
Oh, okay. Well, fun fact.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. I paid special attention to the food that they were going to eat. Anyway, Natalie then asks about Reno. And this is where the whole episode and probably the whole season is just going to, like, tip towards one of their sides or the other. Because it could go either way here. Either she's going to be batshit crazy or he's going to be a total sleaze hiding something. And I don't know which way I fall on this yet. Because she asks about going to Reno. Because she's kind of bored in their little podunk town that they live in. And he's like, well, you know, I love Reno. I got friends there. It's like family. But I don't know about bringing you there because you can be harsh. And she's like, no, he's not wrong. Like, she is very direct and straightforward. Part of that, I think, is culturally. And part, she's also kind of psycho.
Yeah.
And she's going to say what she wants to say, and she really doesn't care. But then she's like, oh, maybe if they didn't send you naked pictures to your phone. And then she does this weird, evil smile with chopsticks in her mouth.
Did we know this information before, or is this the first time? Yeah, I think we're learning it for the first time in this episode, right? Because they had the producer talking to her. All right.
Yeah. And she does this, like, she wanted. That wasn't a joke. And then she goes, oh, I shouldn't say those jokes anymore, Mike. I was like, no, that wasn't a joke. You didn't say it as a joke. You said it to be a psycho bitch.
Yeah, but
and then he goes,
he gets way too upset about
his response. Yes. Then his response, he goes, you're right, Natalie. You don't speak no more. And then I was like, oh,
wow.
That little sentence, you don't speak no more.
And he's the guilty
he said
one
that
here,
out
isn't
loud,
he? He's the one that's getting naked
know.
Pictures from girls. And it seemed like it's true if he got that mad about it.
Okay, but let's just say he did get naked pictures. What if some chick sent him naked pictures of her boobs, which I'm sure girls probably do to a lot of these guys on the show, whether it was a friend or not. If it was a one-time thing, is he supposed to just know before he opens a message that there's boobs?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Now, if it was multiple times and it was a thing going back and forth, yes. But is he guilty for just receiving it? I truly don't know. I've been out of the scene.
I'm sure
for
we'll
a while.
Find out.
Well, what would you think if you were dating someone and they got a text from a friend that was their boobs? What's your immediate thought? Like, oh, there's something going on?
Yeah.
Or okay, and if he's like, nothing, I don't know. I don't know why she sent it.
Well, I don't believe anything any men say anymore, so.
Okay. The fact that he leaves and gets so upset about it, maybe I'm totally naive, is that he's like, we've had this discussion before.
Oh, they've definitely had
this
conversation.
I told you it was nothing. I'm not having this in front of cameras now because now you did it on purpose to try to make me look like a dick on camera. So I'm leaving. Have a good night.
Yeah.
You obviously set this all up that you wanted to make me look like an asshole. It's my birthday. I'm leaving. I want to believe him that it was nothing. Not that I like him. Not that I think he's innocent.
I don't really know if I like
anyone. But she has a history of saying this stuff before.
I just don't. I don't care about them that much. God, I don't know who I care about. I guess Kalani and Asuelu.
Yeah, I like Kalani. A dating show with Kalani and Kalini, that would be amazing.
Oh yeah. Is that everyone?
I would like to see that on this week. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
My last question for you. I don't know if you've seen this blow up on TikTok or not.
I haven't been on TikTok in like a week.
Oh, well, be prepared because you're probably going to have about 98 messages from me, 98 videos that I've sent you. Have you heard about this Ben Affleck thing?
No.
Okay, so some famous TikToker, some, you know, beautiful girl with overdrawn lips and big eyelashes, went on TikTok and said that she was on the dating app Raya. Have you heard of this? It's like a dating app for celebrities
or celebrities, beautiful people. You have to be invited, yeah. Okay. Or you have to be, like, approved as a celebrity.
Okay, I was going to say, she's probably just Instagram famous or whatever, or pretty enough to get on anything. Mm. And she got a DM and just deleted it. And then Ben Affleck sent her another DM, and he's like, hey, whatever her name is, hey, Tiffany, it's me. Why'd you delete me? And it's, like, gone viral. And it's him, like, sending her this video, but a lot of people are like, oh, God, like, that's the scariest fucking thing. And his face being like, hey, why'd you delete me?
Oh, he sent a video.
A selfie video of himself being like, why did you delete me? Oh, see, now you gotta look it up. Just Google Ben Affleck, Raya TikTok, and it's gonna come up.
Oh, 96 things in my inbox.
Oh, my God, for real? Oh, God, they're all from me.
They're all from you. There's a couple there's six from Justine and 88 from you.
Oh my God. Okay. I was like really over exaggerating there, but apparently I was not. So.
Ben Affleck. What would I say? Ben Affleck. Raya.
Raya. Yeah. Oopsie.
Whoa. Why did you unmatch me? It's me.
Whoa. That was jarring.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah. Jesus. By the way, that song, because that song was trending a couple weeks ago, and everyone was just doing that, waking up in the morning, and I never put it together that that's who that was.
Yep, Real Housewives in New Jersey.
Doesn't she have another song, too, that she, like, makes up, like, about her sister or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, Real Housewives, daughters, songs, and song groups from different cities and franchises. That's a whole thing we can dive into. Ooh. There's Real Housewives of Orange County. What's her name? Bedore. Shannon Bedore's daughter, Dreamcatcher. They had a song. There was a group. It's all bad, of course. Like, no one's actually talented. But, I mean, it's pretty ballsy for Ben Affleck to do that. Right? It's gross.
Did she respond?
And it's ballsy. I don't think so. I think she put it out on there. That's the biggest turnoff. That
he seems mad, too. He seems mean.
It grosses me out that any man would be so into themselves that they would feel so confident to send that and be like, who are you to turn this down? Ew. It's me.
Well, I'm going to spend the rest of my night lying flat out and just going through all the TikToks
going through
all
the ones that I sent you, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's basically Ben Affleck's version of Starving Like a Marvin. Ew. Don't do it.
God.
All right, so what do we have coming up? We have, we're going to be recording our recap of Marriage Boot Camp this week.
Yes, Seeking Sister Wives.
Seeking Sister Wife. Both of those are going to be on patreon.com/lovetohateTV.
Yep.
And then we'll be back later this week or next week on Total Request Podcast.
We're doing the Big Ed 90 Day Journey second episode. I already rewatched it because I was so excited.
With the shower, right? The shower.
I don't think the shower happens.
Oh, no. This is the market where he's sweating his ass off. Okay.
Yeah. And she keeps taking his money and he's getting so mad at her.
Oh, God. And then, an episode of Always Sunny.
Oh, that's right. Who got deep pregnant.
All right. So cool. Stay tuned. And I hope you guys enjoy this first episode. We're going to find our rhythm, but we're going to talk about anything we want, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot to hate on this week, for sure, for both of our lives. So
yeah, and I just want to say, it's great to see you upright. You started this episode horizontal.
Yeah.
Now you're vertical. Things are looking up.
I will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.